As you can imagine, a lot of people go to priests seeking advice or seeking counsel, especially in the reconciliation room. So like every Friday night, Father Steve or I are in one of those two reconciliation rooms, usually for 2 to 3 hours, nonstop. And every Saturday afternoon from 3:30 to 5, nonstop. So in the course of a month, hundreds of people sometimes will come, and many will ask for advice and seek counsel. Sometimes about things that are not as serious, like some small decisions, you know, I'm trying to make a decision about whether I should take this job or go to this school or that school. And, you know, these can have big consequences, but they're not crises. But many times we get issues that really are crises. Somebody is having a real marital crisis, a real crisis with drugs or alcohol, a real faith crisis, really doubting that God even exists or that God cares about the individual. And, you know, I try to listen carefully, and I always try to adjust my response to the needs of the individual person. But there is one fundamental counsel that I give, one fundamental theme that comes through the hundreds and hundreds of different types of counseling that I offer to people. And it's found in today's gospel, and it's in one line. And this is the theme. Remain in me as I remain in you. That's it, folks. Go home now. You've learned all you need to know. Remain in me as I remain in you. Now, this is based on experimental evidence that it works. If a person remains in the Lord, then things work out. They work out for the good. If somebody is living in Jesus Christ, consciously opening up one's mind, one's heart, one's emotions, one's decisions to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, things work out the way they're supposed to. Now, it doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes it even takes a few years for some, you know, real major issues that need time to kind of sort themselves through. But if a person is seeking consciously to remain in the presence of Jesus Christ, things always work out. And I said there's experimental evidence to prove it, and that's in the life of every saint whose lives and teachings we have recorded. And we're talking about thousands of them. So if that's true, and I know it is true, then how do we remain in Him? How do we consciously live in Jesus Christ? And again, today's gospel points the way. In the very beginning of this gospel, Jesus says, "You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you." So he's talking to his disciples and all future generations of disciples, that's you and me. And he says that the word that he speaks prunes us. Now, those of you who are gardeners know what pruning does. So you got roses, and you've got some branches that are kind of dying, or they're just getting out of control, and so you cut them back. You cut back the rose bush. You cut back whatever the plant may be, and then it grows stronger, and you get new shoots. And you top a tree. You know, you cut the branches off the top of a tree, and then new growth comes out. So this pruning is what purifies old growth and brings out stronger new growth. And according to this particular verse in the gospel, the word of Jesus Christ, the words that he spoke, prune us, purify us. In other words, if we take the word of God and we think about it, we kind of chew on it, we try to absorb it, then issues become more clear. So some young guy comes to me and is having relationship problems with girlfriend. And whatever the particular issue may be, I will often say, you need to ask the Lord what he wants you to do about your relationship with your girlfriend. And in case there's some real doubt about whether this relationship should continue, maybe it's just the wrong relationship or it's going in the wrong direction, you will know if you ask the Lord and you meditate on his word. So you take your Bible and every day at home, you read a little bit, you think about it, you chew on it, and you ask the Lord for guidance, in this case about your girlfriend and how the relationship should continue. And you do the same thing the next day, and the same thing the next day, and the same thing the next day. And then what happens is the Lord puts a feeling into your heart. A feeling begins to grow the more you pray about the issue. And the feeling may be a stronger desire to be with her and to work on the relationship, or the feeling may come to be, I think it's time for a change. I don't think this is the one for me. And that's one way the Holy Spirit speaks, is through feelings that grow or grow stronger or grow weaker as a result of meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, thinking about the Word of God, because the Word of God purifies our mind, purifies our thoughts, purifies our feelings. So that's one key way that we remain in Him, live in Him. And then Jesus goes on in this very beautiful passage, and I'd recommend you read this over and over again, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 of John. He goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Another translation uses the word abides. Whoever abides in me and I in him or her will bear much fruit. So when some of the great Christian mystics, great Christian spiritual masters take this verse, one way they understand abiding in Jesus or living in Jesus, remaining in Jesus, is what we call contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer means sitting quietly with the Lord, perhaps using the scriptures again, or using the Jesus prayer, the invocation of the holy name, or reading a good spiritual book, or just having a quiet gaze at the Eucharist. When you come on Thursdays, you know, every Thursday, we have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. On the altar, we place this golden cross, and in the middle, we put the consecrated host, Jesus present in the Eucharist. And people come all day, and they sit and they look, they gaze, they talk, they listen, they adore. And just sitting, gazing at the Eucharist, or during other days during the week, come over to that little chapel over there, the little Eucharistic chapel. And again, the same thing, just kind of sitting and having a conversation with the Lord, and then kind of resting in quiet. That quiet that prayer leads us to when we meditate on the Word and or just have a conversation with the Lord in kind of a simple, loving way, the mind settles down. The body settles down, becomes more relaxed. And we abide in the presence. We dwell in the presence. We live in the presence. And then when you come out of that experience, say you spend 10 or 15 minutes, you know, just meditating on the Word or having a little conversation with the Lord, just sitting quietly, what happens is you feel like you're resting in the divine presence. That's part of what abide in me, remain in me, live in me means. According to many of our great spiritual masters, like, say, St. Teresa of Avila, one of our great heroines of the faith. So those are two ways that we remain in Him. One is by letting the Word work on us, meditating on the Word, letting it purify the mind, clarify the mind. And the other is just sitting in quiet and conversing with the Lord. We do the same at home. We don't have to do it only in church. We should do that at home. Like every morning or every evening, spend some time just sitting quietly with the Lord, using the scriptures or just having a good conversation, just the quiet sitting, abiding in the Lord's presence draws us to be in Him. And then finally, there's a promise that if we do this, you can ask for whatever you want and it's going to happen. Now, that sounds like an outrageous promise, but he says it. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. This is the promise that Jesus makes. If we remain in him, now that means day after day after day, growing in that abiding in the Lord's presence. Then, And those words, he says, if your words, my words, remain in you, then you ask for whatever you want, it will be done for you, because we've got the divine power available. When we got the Holy Spirit available, day after day, sitting, enjoying that presence, and then especially coming to Mass on Sunday or even during the week and taking the very body of blood of Christ into our bodies, into our souls, what deeper kind of intimacy could we ask for? Today, Nathan and Thomas are going to receive the first Holy Communion. They are going to receive bread and wine into their bodies that's no longer bread and wine. It's Jesus Christ himself. Seems like another outrageous idea to people who are not, you know, conversant with Christianity and Catholicism in particular. But again, we know it's true from the experience of millions of Catholics for 2,000 years who've had the experience, who know that when they receive the body and blood of Christ into their bodies, into their souls, gradually we change. We change. We become more like the one that we are receiving. St. Augustine used to say to those who were receiving the Holy Eucharist for the first time, receive what you are. Receive what you are. You are the body of Christ. Our deepest identity is not being a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, an older, younger person, a professional, a laborer, a housewife. Those are all parts of who we are. But the deepest identity of who we are is we are Christ. That sounds pretty weird to say. But that's exactly what we proclaim in every baptism. We take a white garment, we put it on the newly baptized person, and we say, you have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. So be who you are. Be Christ for the world. And the way we become Christ for the world that begins with baptism is by abiding in him, remaining in him in that daily prayer and meditation, reflecting on his words, and then gradually the purification and the abiding creates someone who's new, someone who becomes more and more like Jesus Christ. And this is what Nathan and Thomas and all of us are invited to become, other Christs.